Hi everyone, I'm Liam and welcome to another episode of Exploring the NQS, a bonus series from the Early Education Show, exclusively for our Patreon supporters. So if you're listening to this, that means you're supporting the main show, which means I want to start, as usual, with a big thank you. The main show will always be free and you can find it at earlyeducationshow.com, but those of you who choose to actually support us financially really, really help us out. So this show, Exploring the NQS, is about taking a look at one element of the National Quality Standard, one at a time, until I've covered all 40. My background is as an early childhood teacher and educator, as a centre director, and I currently oversee professional learning and development for Northside Community Service, a not-for-profit early education provider based in Canberra. So, let's get started. The element this week is element 1.1.2, child-centred. It's part of Quality Area 1, Educational Program and Practice, and the first element of Standard 1.1, Program. The description for this element is, each child's current knowledge, strengths, ideas, culture, abilities, and interests are the foundation of the program. So, what's this element all about? This is really about ensuring that, you know, educators, leaders, professionals working in services place children at the center of the program. It's important to think about when we think about program, if we look at the early years learning framework and My Time, My Place, the program is kind of defined as everything that happens in the service from the moment the doors open to the moment they close at the end of the day. So this element is really asking us to think primarily about placing children at the center of our program, so our sort of our plan for what we do, but it's really about placing children at the center of everything we do. And we're going to talk a lot about that, I think, when we get up to the elements in Quality Area 5 in, you know, 20 or 30 weeks. But what this is really asking us to think about in the context of Quality Area 1, Educational Program and Practice, is when we're setting up our environments, when we're doing, if we do a particular style of programming, how are we placing children at the center of it? And that's sort of that's probably a way to think about the group context, but it's also asking us to think about the individual context so that children's individual requirements are understood and embedded. And if you look at the description, they include a lot of things there. Each child's current knowledge, their strengths, their ideas, their culture, their abilities and interests. And that's, you know, not an exhaustive list. So you really want to be thinking about, for each individual child that comes in, how do we ensure that they are, you know, present in the program and that they're embedded in that foundation of the program. So let's take a look and have a think about what this element sort of means in practice, what it might look like, or the kinds of things we're kind of thinking about. You're going to be hearing this a lot from me over this series. In fact, you're probably going to become pretty bored of it by episode 40. But for me, the first starting point is always, how is this visible in your classrooms, in your services, in your rooms where you're educating children? How can you see things like children's ideas, their voices, their strengths, their questions? How can you see them in a classroom? Again, if I walk in and I don't talk to any of the educators, I don't talk to the director, I don't talk to the educational leader, how would I know that children's ideas are present in the planning for the classroom? This is such a good strategy, and I really like coming back to it, is thinking about a stranger walking in, or a child or a new family walking in. They should be able to get some sense that children are really critical to what's happening in this classroom. And what that can sometimes mean is, if you're then looking beyond the visible, is that then the educators, and particularly the leaders in the classroom, whether it's a team leader, an educational leader, or the director, can really identify those their reasons for why they're doing particular things. They can see, this is the child-focused reason we set up the environment in this way. This is the reason we're doing this planned experience. Maybe it's an incursion, maybe it's an excursion, maybe it's just an activity that children really enjoy. Particularly routines and transitions as well. That's something that comes up again a bit later in the National Quality Standard as well. But if we're saying we have children at the centre of these decisions, that means that educators can really say why this is happening, and their answer has something to do with children. You know, a lot of the time, particularly the routines and transitions, we can do things that are adult-focused. So we make sure everyone's asleep by a certain period of time, or we make sure we have lunch at a particular time and there's a really strict transition, and that's often about making sure educators can go on breaks and those kind of things. It's not just discounting that operational requirements aren't important. They are. We're heavily regulated, as we need to be, to ensure children's health and safety. So we do need to be meeting ratios and all those kind of things. But sometimes, in fact, a lot of the time, a lot of the things we do are not child-focused. They're adult-focused. Now, the question there becomes, does this need to be adult-focused? Sometimes the answer will be yes. So this isn't about making educators feel bad for the things they're doing. Some things do need to be adult-focused, but not everything, and actually not that many things. So really have a think about, is there a way we could make this child-focused and still allow us to meet the operational requirements we have? Another interesting thing that you can really think about in practice is thinking about, what do children know about the program? Do the children in your classroom, from the youngest to preschool to school-age children, do they know why things are happening? Now, when I say that they know about the program, they're probably not going to care about the, you know, you might have a weekly or a fortnightly program on the wall. But, you know, if you do, they're probably not going to be interested in what you put on there. That's a very adult-focused component of the program. But the program for children is what they're doing every day, what they're coming in, what they're seeing, the experiences they're having with other children, the experiences they're having with educators. That's the program for children. That's the life and the breath of the centre. So what do children know about it? Could children articulate, well, this is why we do this. This is why we have morning mat time or story time. This is why this is why we don't do large groups. We don't have 20 children sitting down doing a single activity. You can actually have those discussions with children. For younger children, you know, if you look at toddlers, it might be around why you were doing particular specific activities, experiences. Do we actually talk to children about why? This is why we set this up today. I'm really hoping you're going to enjoy this. I'd be particularly, you know, always starting with things like the setup of the environment. So let's say, and I really hope this is the case for everyone who's listening, you have a big focus on literacy and books being available to children. You have a beautiful space somewhere in your classroom that has lots of books set up and lots of, maybe pictures of children reading. Have you talked to children about why that's there, why that's so important? We just think, reading's so important. We want to make sure you've got a lovely space to be reading, and maybe children can articulate that. You know, I can't think of anything much more child-centered than children having a knowledge of the program. Again, not the adult components of it, not the spreadsheets and the checklists and all those kind of things. That's adult-focused. For children, the program is what's happening in their classroom on a day-to-day basis, how educators are treating them, how the classroom feels for them. You know, that's a really great way of thinking, you know, is that program child-centered? And then it's about, this can look different for different children as well, so that children may want to have different ranges of engagement with the program. It's not about forcing children to participate, but some children, you know, really want to have that knowledge about, have a say as what's happening. I really think if you ran ideas past children in terms of what you want to do, they might have different ideas. They might have different things they want to do. For infants, you know, it may be that their communication is around letting you know whether they enjoy or don't enjoy an experience, and that's their contribution to the program. If children don't enjoy experience, it may be that you do it another couple of times to see if there were particular things that went wrong, or you go away and try something else. You know, if children aren't engaging in a particular space, you maybe want to move it to a different space or include different materials, and that's the children's contribution to the program. Just because they're not talking doesn't mean they can't contribute. So really go back, you know, to me, I always like to think, you know, can we go back to basics before we think about, you know, analysing the program and, you know, including children's voices, maybe, you know, in a picture, you know, we might put up an A3 bit of paper on the wall and write down what children have said. You know, that's great. I'm not discounting that. But maybe go back to the start, before you start developing, you know, how you're going to set up the environment, or if you're thinking of changing the environment, have you consulted with children and talked about children? That'd be a really powerful way to evidence that you're really child-centered in your program. So every episode I'll wrap up with two little sections, suggestions for nominated supervisors and ideas for goals for your quality improvement plan. So for nominated supervisors, I'd really be thinking about, what are your systems, what are your processes for learning about children? This is a bit beyond, you know, what kind of, it might be, you know, what templates you use for analysing information, what ways you collect information, whether it's, you know, observations, learning stories, running records, those kind of things. This is about thinking, right back to the start, as children arrive in your centre, how do you learn about children? How do you learn about their knowledge, strengths, ideas, culture, abilities and interests? I also really want to challenge people to think beyond the all about me form, or whatever you call that. Everyone will probably have one. You probably include it in your enrolment packs. You know, the families fill in a bit of information about their child. Again, not discounting the importance of that form. You know, you've got a lot of children coming into your service. You need to get some basic information. But thinking beyond that, what can we, you know, how can we you know, either come up with different ways of gaining more detailed information about children. How do you know that, you know, that families have had the opportunity to really give you an in-depth understanding? And a lot of that is around, you know, for me, it's prioritising that time to be meeting with families and children, ideally before they start. We don't always have that luxury, but during orientation, you know, during waiting list tours as well, developing that relationship with a child and a family means you can really, you know, get that level of detail and that really rich information about children, which I just don't think you can capture just on an All About Me form. Great starting point, but you want to think, how can we go beyond that? And I guess, you know, part of that question, you know, for nominated supervisors, as well as about, you know, what are the systems, is it's really asking, how do you know that the educators you're working with know children really well? You know, that's really what, you know, at the fundamental level, this element and a lot of quality area one is about how well we know children. What do we know about children, and how are we going to support them to move towards the learning outcomes? So as a nominated supervisor, how do you know that all the educators in that centre, from the team leaders to, you know, the newly qualified Certificate 3 educator, know children or have a way of getting to know children? Or if they don't know children, which happens, you know, they're all human beings. We don't have a perfect relationship with all of them. What are the processes we can do to find out more about that child? And then I'd be thinking about, what discussions do you have with your team about being child-centred in practice? You know, do you talk to people about, you know, do you talk to your people about, you know, is this child-centred? Are we putting the child in the middle of this discussion? And this often comes back to me as a particular thing about providing feedback to your team. Nominated supervisors are incredibly busy. They've got a lot to do, particularly meeting the regulatory requirements, meeting the national law, ensuring that everything's up to date. Sometimes our feedback can come back to, you know, simple things about filling in incident forms correctly or dealing with critical incidents. If we can make sure we're finding time for that feedback to be about child-centred practice, asking, you know, what do you know about this child, or what don't you know, what do you wish you knew? And show me how, you know, you really put the children at the centre of this activity you've planned. Or you can say, you're obviously looking at changing your classroom environment. So, you know, tell me what consultations you've had with children, or what do you think, or what are you at least thinking about children as you go through this environment change? You know, transforming those discussions to those feedback sessions to being child-centred is a really great strategy for nominated supervisors. And in terms of the quality improvement plan, I've got a couple of goals here I'd recommend. One would be, you know, we have strong knowledge and understanding of children's backgrounds and who they are now. That's really important. That's what this element is asking for us, to get a good sense of, as children join us and grow and develop, because they will change as well, that we have that strong knowledge. And it's also important to acknowledge who children are now. It's not just about where they've come from. It's not just about where they're going. Celebrating and acknowledging who they are now and the different people they will grow to be over the coming years. And then the second quick goal I would have would be that all children are given opportunities to have a voice in the development and implementation of the program. That wording's really important to me. All children are given opportunities to have a voice. I think sometimes in early childhood we might default to a value statement, like all children have a voice in the development of the program. But that may not be achievable. That may not be realistically achievable. Some children have the right to not want to contribute in a particular way. And we also need to make sure we're not, you know, putting pressure on ourselves we can't meet. The idea of the QIP goals is they should be attainable. So educators and yourselves as a service can really work towards that goal of making sure those opportunities are there to have a voice in the development of in the implementation of the program. Well, that's it for 1.1.2 child-centred. I hope that was helpful. I hope that sparked some conversations for you and your team. We'll be back next week with element 1.2.3. Don't forget, you can find the main show at earlyeducationshow.com. We'll be wrapping up for the year pretty soon, but we've got a couple of great episodes coming up. You can find out more about this show at earlyeducationshow.com/exploring the NQS. If you're enjoying the show, either the main show or this one, let a colleague know, let a friend know. That will really help us out. But until next week, it's goodbye from me.